breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle and all.
All right. Is your first reaction to hearing that lullaby? Call Child Protective Services. Somebody put their baby in a treetop. I don't know that anyone ever really did that with an infant, but I think we'd all agree that our tolerance for risk when it comes to our kids is narrowing. As we continue with our family meeting on risk, I'm joined by Amy Fusselman, whose book is Savage Park, A Meditation on Play, Space, and Risk for Americans Who Are Nervous, Distracted, and Afraid to Die. It is out today from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Welcome to WNYC, Amy Fusselman.
Thank you so much for having me.
I get the sense that you had an aha moment at this park in Japan you visited with your sons, and you came to question how, as particularly middle-class Americans, we seem to be missing the forest for the trees when it comes to childhood play and risk. And there were literally children in the trees in that park from looking at your book. So start by telling us about this so-called Savage Park of your title.
Yes. Savage Park is the name of the Hanagi Play Park in Japan. It's the name that my host's son affectionately called the play park. And when she first took me to the park, it was really one of those moments where seeing it felt like a confrontation, in the sense that its mere existence made me rethink every play space that I knew as a New York City parent. It completely upended my notion of what is possible.
You saw open fires?
Yes, yes. The children at the park are encouraged to play with the four elements, of which, you know, fire is one.
Saws?
Yes. Tools are available for all the children to use in the play park, and adults as well.
Heavily supervised?
Not so much. I mean, that's really the most provocative thing about this play park, which is an adventure playground. And for those of you who don't know, adventure playgrounds were first begun by landscape architect Carl Sorensen in 1943 in Copenhagen, when that town was under German occupation. And they consist of, you know, a vacant lot, donated tools, and a play worker who's there to facilitate the children's play, but not to direct it. Critical, not to direct it.
And you saw tree climbing, which, by the way, is illegal in Central Park, I think.
It is against park rules, yes.
And what are kids in New York missing, in your opinion, by not being allowed to climb trees in Central Park, for example?
Well, I think the first thing that I came back and wanted to start looking at was, what do we think play is, that we construct spaces that are so impoverished? And, you know, what play is a really knotty and complicated question. I mean, the Brian Sutton Smith, the play scholar, has written about how the idea of play as a progress, a kind of rehearsal for something that children will do later in life, is so dominant that it's really blotted out our all other understandings. And it kind of, because it's this notion of a progress that needs to be supervised and curated by adults.
So is this about risk? Is this about trying to take the physical risks out of childhood too much?
Well, I think that there's a lot of fear about what play is and the unruliness of it. I mean, Sutton Smith also addresses the notion that parents would rather play sports, really, than fantasy games with their child, because sports have rules. I mean, I think it really it confronts us with aspects of our children that are uncomfortable. And the way that we kind of shut down playgrounds, in the sense that we make them, you know, very difficult to manipulate, they're environments that can't be changed, they're often not connected to local space in any way, it's part of it.
Listeners, are there risks you took as a child that you won't consider for your own children now? 212-433-WNYC. Do you have a story to share about risk and reward for your children, or that you experienced as a child? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For Amy Fusselman, author of the new book Savage Park, A Meditation on Play, Space, and Risk for Americans Who Are Nervous, Distracted, and Afraid to Die. That's a lot to put on a book jacket. You think this risk aversion is a particular problem for Americans?
Well, I do think that our culture of litigation makes it particularly naughty. I mean, there's no way, unlike the Hanagi Play Park, there's no way that a sign saying play freely at your own risk, you know, is going to fly in the United States. I mean, the Adventure Playground in Berkeley, California, which, you know, was was begun around the same time as Hanagi Play Park. I visited this summer, and in fact, you know, you do sign a waiver before you, your child, and you enter the park.
And is it of this time? I mean, we talked about risky jobs earlier in the show when most work was dangerous and infant mortality was high. Were parents more aware of the need for risk in play or just unable to prevent it?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, there's a moment in the book where I was trying to look for a device for my daughter called a baby bath ring, and I had found that in the time between the birth of my second and third child, this product had been changed so that a plastic arm was affixed from the bath ring to the side of the tub. It was like a huge prosthetic arm had been put on this object in order to keep it more safe. I do think that, you know, there's an increase in really what we're willing to do, the lengths we're willing to go to, quote, make our children safe.
Ben in Garwood, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Brian. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thanks. So I have a little story. I was in Berlin, Germany, a couple of years back with my then 2-year-old daughter. Now she's 4. And Berlin has some of the world's great playgrounds, just incredible towers, 30, 40 feet high. And there are no signs that say, this is the big kid playground, this is the little kid playground. And we experienced toddlers playing, including my 2-year-old, playing along with big kids, 8, 10 years old, which was delightful for her. I enjoyed it. And then when we got back to the city, the neighborhood playgrounds that are 5 feet off the ground seemed rink-a-dink by comparison. And I actually met a parent there who I was chatting with, and he laughed about this. He said, you know, you Americans, you have regulated all of the fun out of your playground because you don't want lawsuits, but you let people die in traffic all the time, which I thought was a perfect commentary.
Yes, yes. I mean, that really speaks to it. What we miss, I mean, that's really what I hope people take away from my book, is to ask the question, what are we missing in making these playgrounds the way they are? What are we really keeping children from?
There is a part of me that wants to push back and say, wait a minute, which is worse again, too much security in childhood or the backlash to child safety? We want child safety, right? We don't want whatever statistics we can prevent of kids falling off high monkey bars onto concrete, or whatever, maybe that's a fake one, I don't know. But whatever one we want to name, that was actually hurting kids or killing kids.
Of course. I mean, the bottom line is the loss of any child, and you know, is a tragedy beyond anything. And that's, you know, what drives it. That fear, the fear that you gain, that is born when you become a parent. You know, there's no escaping that.
But can we have it both ways? Or do we have to live with more actual physical peril to our children, you know, the most precious things in our lives, and plus they're, you know, autonomous human beings who we are bound to protect, in order to give them these experiences in childhood?
Right. Well, one thing, you know, in writing the book was that I was exposed to the notion of play in more of a Hindu culture where the world is at play. A human is in some ways being played all the time in the world. Our Western notion of play is more heroic and individual. We play in playgrounds. So maybe there's something between the two, between East and West, a kind of, can we accept that we are both at play and playing?
Julie in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi, Julie.
Oh, hi. I'm one of these people who thinks it's quite a myth that there used to be a period in American culture where children walked home from school independently and played outside independently in unsupervised groups and were exposed to all sorts of risks and ended up unscathed. I had very laissez-faire parents who were probably the norm for the 50s and the 60s, and I was molested twice. I actually managed to go blind while playing with a chemistry set and exploded some lye. I think you can expose children to intellectual risks, and there can be risks even taken in character building, but I think this myth that there was a past in American culture where children just went about their business and emerged unscathed is simply not true. I wish it were true, but I don't think it is.
Julie, do they still make that kind of chemistry set?
Well, interestingly enough, no. And in fact, you know, these little balls of soap that you could put in the tub and they make soapy water, there's actually now a warning label on them that they do contain lye, and you have to be careful with them.
There you go. Julie, thank you. Thank you for your call. Well, what a story. And that's the other side of, you know, what can happen.
Right. It's, I mean, I'm sorry to hear for her experience. You know, I was sexually abused as a kid as well, and I have a book about it. I don't know. That's a trickier subject and something that I'm not sure is completely related to the environment.
Tom in Hastings, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
Well, I grew up in Queens, and I don't know, we were about 8 or 9 at the time, and we discovered that New York City was just a marvelous playground. And we used to sneak on the trains all the time, and one day we got into Manhattan, and we were robbed as soon as we got off the train, and all our money was taken, but we got into the stairwells, the Empire State Building, that's where we were headed, and we ran all the way up to the top, and got into another stairwell, and got into another room with a ladder, and we got up on top, opened the hatch, and we could have climbed inside the tower, except we got too frightened from the wind, and me and my friend, we backed off, closed the hatch, and went down, and we did other risky things like that, and we survived, but I, too, we lived across a street from the 39 World's Fair, and that was just an amazing playground as well, because a lot of the old buildings and structures were up, and so we just had an amazing experience as children growing up in Queens.
And taking some risks.
Yes.
Like outside the Empire State Building. Didn't you, Amy, do some wire walking with Philippe Petit, who gained fame as the guy who walked between the Twin Towers in 1974?
Yes, I did. I took a wire walking class with him. It was an amazing experience.
Do adults need to have some more risky play too then?
I agree. I think that the notion that play is only for children and something that they, you know, outgrow on their way to becoming, oh, let's say members of the flexible workforce is something that we should, you know, would be good to reexamine. Adults do play.
Let's see, I think Mayor Bloomberg was for risk in playgrounds. Do you remember that summer when parents were complaining about the dangers of burns from the black safety mats in the city playground?
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor said,
if it's hot, don't sit on it.
So how far do you want to take this? Should the government assume all parents are paying attention?
Well, I think that's you put your finger on exactly the thing, is are we paying attention and how are we paying attention? I think that's really the critical question.
So I don't know your parent status.
I have 3 kids.
Do you allow them to take risks now that maybe you didn't before thinking about all this?
Well, I think, you know, one of the nice things about the book is that it's not about, you know, heroics. I came back from this extraordinary space with my kids, and yes, we were in our New York City apartment, and there's no possible way to recreate, you know, an adventure playground in an apartment.
Right. And of course, you're a parent. You started by talking about this experience with your kids in Japan.
Right.
And so we will leave it there in our family meeting on risk with Amy Fusselman. Her new book is Savage Park, a meditation on play, space, and risk for Americans who are nervous, distracted, and afraid to die. She also writes the Family Practice Parenting column for McSweeney's Internet Tendency. You're Dr. Amy Fusselman.
I'm a faux doctor,
A faux doctor in that online world. And listeners, if you're intrigued by this and want to meet Amy Fusselman in person, she will be reading tomorrow at the Powerhouse on 8th.
On 8th Avenue, yes.
Powerhouse on 8th Avenue.
In Park Slope.
In Park Slope at 6:30 p.m. That's tomorrow, Wednesday the 14th. Thank you for joining us in our family meeting on risk.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure.
And next, we're going to meet Alex Blumberg, formerly of NPR's Planet Money, now the CEO of Gimlet Media and host of the podcast Startup on the risks of starting a startup. And he'll compare notes with some of you on investment risks, small business risks, risking it all for the unknowns of trying to make it as an entrepreneur.